Happy Feb Ibig once again. I know that there's been this February love fever that has been going on. And for those of you whom that fever is still continuing, you can take some medicines already, okay? And I'm just kidding about that. Like what we said last time, if ever you're still having a hangover of last Sunday, may pa si Elsa na let go na, so better let it go. It'll be a lot easier that way. But anyway, if you recall, the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about love, and we just concluded our series last Sunday. We were talking about the hard truth. How many of you were blessed by that series? Aside from it, that's great. We talked about 2 weeks ago, Tom preached a powerful word about what love is in biblical perspective. He said everybody has an idea. Everybody tells and talks about love all the time, but do we really get to know what it is? And Tom did a great job of saying that Bible does have something to say about love, and it's quite a different perspective as compared to what we usually hold. And last week, Pastor Archie preached a powerful word about how love can be exemplified in marriage. And marriage is something that God has instituted, all right? And what we're doing this week, we are not having a series. We're having a series break, which means it's a break from a series. And we're going to take time to talk about something different. And I was thinking about what I could talk about. And I realized that, you know, it's love month. And it's good to talk about what we love. And I think aside from God, there is a great thing that all of us love. That is perfect. Look at the person beside you. They look like they like food. That's obvious, no? That's right. I'm going to talk about this thing. You know, talking about food. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Patrick. I'm not a pastor, but I'm preaching this Sunday. And I thought about talking about food. And if you know me, I'm from Iran. I was remembering some food from Iran. I don't know if you've tried Middle Eastern food. Anybody has tried some Middle Eastern food here? It's great, right? I have some pictures for you. I know some of you are hungry, so I'll show you these pictures so I'll become more hungry. Have you ever seen this one before? It's called a kebab. It's a barbecue of lamb or usually beef. And it's really delicious. Trust me, it looks delicious. It's actually more delicious when it's on your plate eating it. And I have another picture of this thing called, have you tried this? It's called lamb biryani. It's quite commercialized and it's been sold in a lot of places. Have you guys tried lamb before? Because usually what I can see the closest to it is goat here. I know it tastes a bit different and smells a bit different from the usual food, but I really miss this food. We eat this in special occasions. And, you know, I was talking about this, and I was thinking, man, I wish I could go back to that time and get to eat some more things again. It's been about 8 years that I'm in the Philippines now, so I was like, man, I haven't tried this food for quite a while now. And it gave me this sense of craving. And that's what I want to talk about today. In fact, I'm entitling this message as Crave. All right, and talking about craving, not just for food, but craving for spiritual food. I'm going to talk about the word and a spiritual hunger. I believe this is something that can be so timely for many of us here this afternoon. Are you ready to receive from God? And my scripture is very direct on this. If you have a Bible with you, if you can open it with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. I'm reading from NIV. It says here in 1 Peter 2, verse 2, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. That now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. All right, I was thinking about this one. Sometimes there are things in our lives that are pretty important, but they fail to recognize their importance. Has it happened to you that there are things that are beneficial, but just neglect it for some reason? You forget it or whatever like that. Have you guys bought something, some gadget, some techie stuff? And they usually have this thing called a manual, right? They have this instruction manual, owner's manual. Do you guys read that? Okay, have you tried breaking something because of that one? I won't comment on that one. I remember I was playing with the keyboard, and it's been a couple of years I was using it, but there were quite a number of buttons that I have never, ever touched. And I got to, by chance, stumble upon the instruction manual. And as I was reading it, I realized, wow, this is what this button is supposed to do. I got to realize a lot of features just simply by reading the instruction manual. And first, how many of you have tried figuring out stuff? You don't know it, you just try to make it work. And it takes a while, right? But the instruction manual's purpose is to help you understand things quicker. In fact, I was thinking there are other beneficial things that sometimes we forget, and we get to see the consequences for that. Have you tried having a diary on a road trip when you're traveling, and then you forget this precious thing, this white thing called a tissue roll? My goodness. Have you tried that before? That embarrassing moment when it's, you know, you can't hold it back. It's just like love. You have to let it go. And then the problem is there is no tissue. The nearest place to even get to water is quite far away. If you've tried that, you get to realize how this thing can be simple, but yet we neglect it for some reason. And some of us might relate to this one. If you're a student and you've tried going to school and forgetting to bring that small piece of thing called an ID. What do you do? No ID, no entry. What do you do? I've tried that before. Of course, I forget I'm a Christian and I try to walk by and make sure that a guard doesn't see me. And then I got, so have you tried that? Have you tried getting stopped by the guard? And he asks you, where is your ID, sir? Tapos you have to prove him. Silimanyan, sir, Silimanyan. Been teaching here for a while. Tapos no, they forced me to go back home, get my, have you tried that? You have to go back home, get their ID just to go to school. It's terrible, don't try that. But I was realizing sometimes there are things that are simple, but we forget. And there are things that we miss because of that one. And it shocked me even more that sometimes some things are too abundant that we get to miss out their importance too. All right. In fact, this story, this news was shocking to me that I got to hear about Chinese people buying bottled air. You know, I've heard about bottled water being sold, but bottled air, and I have some pictures of those people. This guy made fortune, and he's still doing so by just simply bottling air from UK and sending it to China because of the pollution that they're experiencing right now. They're buying bottled air just to get a sniff of a fresh air. You know, I hope and pray that as abundant as Bible is around us, we won't grow over familiar to it. It won't go to that day that we get so polluted with this environment and the things that are happening around us that we get to realize how important it's supposed to be. I hope we won't wait for that time that only a passage of the Bible would have to be sold to us up until we realize that this is precious. It's abundant. It's found almost everywhere. Even hotels have free copies of those. Many places would even give it to you for free. Apps are for free. But we neglect its importance. In fact, what I'm going to talk about, I was thinking about this when we talk about reading the Word, for some reason, many of us would have these misconceptions about the Bible. We think, well, the Bible is ancient. You know, it's from years back, thousands of years ago. And we think it's an ancient book that is no longer relevant to us. In fact, we think because of it being an ancient book, it's no longer relevant, irrelevant to us. Here's what I want to tell to you. Ancient doesn't necessarily mean irrelevant. Okay, there are things that are timeless. There are principles that are timeless. Marriage is timeless. All right, honesty is a virtue that is timeless. You know, no matter how many generations pass, there are principles that will remain the same. And Bible, being authored by not a time-bound person, God Himself, is definitely offering us things that are timeless too. And for that reason, guess what? It is relevant to my generation, to your generation, to our time, to our situations. And this is what we have to realize. I was thinking about this. If Bible, being an ancient book, could survive this many years to reach my hand and your hand, that actually speaks of its relevance. For some reason, it could reach our hand. And that speaks of how it could always be used and change people's lives, all right? And I won't have so much time to delve on that, but I was thinking, more than just it being relevant in terms of time, it is very relevant to all of us at whatever situation and season of our life that we are in right now. All right, and for that reason, what I'm going to talk about, what I'm focusing on right now, is the benefits that the Word of God has for us, all right? How many were you excited to know what the Word can offer to you? I was thinking about these benefits. I want to start off with this one. In 1 Peter 2:2, it says this way, like newborn babies, talking about me and you, crave for your spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. It's interesting. He uses the word crave. Have you tried craving for something? Have you seen a baby crave for something or crave for food? Have you seen them crying so hard wanting to get it? They will make so much noise up until you give it to them. But when they crave, they force, they find their way to get what they want. All right, and this is the situation, this is the thing that the Bible is asking us to have, that craving, that hunger for spiritual food. And it's interesting, it's talking about babies and it's talking about spiritual milk. If you're in any form medically inclined or you're a mother, you've probably known about this one, that milk is so complete as a food, all right? Milk contains everything that the baby needs for it to grow. If you have realized this, a baby grows really fast in the first year of his life, right? Having us right away start getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And they need no multivitamins, they need no extra stuff. All they need is just milk. And it's so complete for them, it gives them what they need. In fact, if you're a nurse or medically inclined, you've known about this one. The first couple of times that the mother is giving milk, it's called colostrum. That is the first time that the mother is still giving milk. And it contains quite a good number of antibodies for the baby that the immune system is not yet completely developed for, in fact, even some months later on. And what I'm trying to say is that the baby gets to have what it needs, not just for it to grow, but even prevent infection. See, the baby needs that to grow. It's a milk, a complete food. The Bible is being compared to a milk that is so complete for what I need, for what you need, for me and you to grow spiritually. And this is what I like. It says, it's for newborn babies. Allow me to break, by the way, some misconceptions and some wrong mentalities about it. Is that fine? Sometimes we think, it talks about this milk being for newborn babies. Sometimes we think the Bible is supposed to be for the mga religious people, the super saints, the pastors have to study that one, or the Bible scholars, or those who know Hebrew and Greek have to say, you know what, you don't need those for you to study the Bible. Bible has been written for me and for you. In fact, Jesus talked about these principles being understandable by a kid. We should have even a childlike faith. So if it's supposed to be that simple that even babies can understand, how much more me and you? It's something relevant to my situation and to your situation. Listen, God wants to talk to you. That's why He's written the Bible for you. He's authored it for you. All right? And here's what I want to tell you as well. I hope and pray that we won't be the kind of people, you know, we're interested to want to learn, and we come Sunday in, Sunday out, and it's great. We come here, we're excited to listen to the preacher, and we're excited to listen to the Word of God. That's great. That has to be the case. But here's what I'm telling you. A preacher, I study the Word, I try to understand what it says, I get a revelation from God, I get so pumped up, so excited, I'm here, I come here, I preach it, I excite you as well, I encourage you. But do you realize I'm giving a secondhand information, a secondhand blessing to you? Here's what I want to tell you. God is your Father too. He has the same degree of interest to want to talk to you. You're no different from me or from anybody else. God has called you His child, and He's interested to make it firsthand with you. All right? I don't know if you know about this, about birds. When they have their kids, when they come out right away, since they can't fly, the mothers or their fathers would go and get food for their babies. They would get worm, they would chew it, they would prepare it, then they would come and give it to their birds. They would throw it in their mouth. All right, then the babies would eat that pre-chewed food, that pre-masticated food. I know that sounds gross, but they need to do that for a while for the baby to grow because the baby cannot fly. But in due time, they have to kick them out of there and let them fly and learn how to fly and get their own food. I hope and pray that we won't be the kind of people that will only depend on a pre-masticated food.
Very good.
All right, we will get it from God Himself. Listen, the books you read about, even Christian books, that are great. Go for it. The podcasts you listen to, the preachers you listen to, the preachings you listen to, these are great. But these are mere multivitamins. They are not yet the food. The food is you reading the Word yourself. Trust me, God will talk to you. And even more than this, it's really interesting how Job compared the Word to his portion of food. He says, he made this bold declaration. He said, I have not departed from the commandments of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food. Meaning something, in NIV it says, my daily bread. Something that I eat all the time, every single day. All right, and I'm sure if you talk about food, how many meals do you eat per day? How many times do you eat per day? 7 or more. The more, the merrier. I'm sure we all love food. When it comes to food, we are craving for it. We are wanting it. And here is Job telling, I regard and I want your word more than even my daily bread. More than even what I need all the time. You know what he's trying to say by saying daily bread? He's talking about the necessary food. Something that I do all the time. Here's the word I want you to get. The word essential. What do I mean by that? I don't know if this has happened to you before, but you buy a burger and then you eat, you get your first bite, and it feels like it's great. There is the bun, there is the ketchup, there is the mayonnaise, there is the lettuce. But something's missing. You feel like, then you look at it, the patty is still at the back. Have you felt that? Has that happened to you? The buy one, take one. But a burger, without a burger, patty is empty. And it's the same thing. You know, by saying it's essential, meaning it's something that you cannot do without. A burger without a burger patty, senseless. Another example, look at this. Your body has several parts, right? And I'm sure that the body parts are all important, right? You know, our fingers are important, right? We all need our fingers. Can you imagine writing without fingers? If you have your fingers, that's great. But can you survive without your fingers? You will continue to live without your fingers. Your hand is very important, but can you live without a hand? Well, yes, you can survive without a hand. Here, your heart is also important. Can you live without a heart? You can. I'm just joking. You cannot, unless you're a heartless person. What am I trying to say? There are things that are essential you cannot do without. Here's what the Bible is telling us. By Job telling, I regard this as my daily bread, he's trying to say that, Lord, your word is so essential to my growth. I can't do without it. I can't just want to expect that I'll grow, but not read your word. All right? Here's what I want us to understand. Growth is not possible without us being in the Word. All right, I'm going to explain this in a while, but I want us to get some things. I've come to realize, you know, there are people that, have you seen those people that they become a Christian and they're so excited and they grow so fast? You realize that in a matter of years, they're so mature, they're growing really quick and fast. Has it happened to you? Or you've seen some people developing quite quickly, but for you, what's wrong with me? You know, then you're trying to compare yourself. And here's what I've come to realize. The common denominator in those people who are growing at whatever stage of their life that they are, that they're growing fast in their walk with God, common denominator, without fail, they are into the Word. I'll give you the total opposite as well. I've unfortunately had the chance to want to even counsel some people who were going through a lot of troubles, people who were falling, people who were feeling like, yeah, have you heard that thing, dry season? They're going that time that I feel like everything is so dry. Man, I feel like God is not talking to me. I've been doing everything I can, but I just feel like, I don't know, this is a season I have to accept. And they wait for God up, and finally God would come down and start, you know, showing His love and pouring His love on their heads and showering them with whatever they want. You know what I mean? They wait for that time. They wait for God to make things wet, all right, for their dry season. And here's what I've come to realize. Whenever I would counsel these people, I had this friend whom I would talk to, and I asked him, you know, he was telling me his situation. I was like, how's it going? It's terrible. You know, I feel like there's nothing I get. I have trouble dealing with stuff. I'm having issues here, 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 and here. And I cut through the chase. I said, bro, I have a question to ask from you. How's your quiet time? I didn't get shocked. He wasn't able to do quiet time for quite some time already. I know, I tell you something. From the cases that I've always counseled without fail, those who are going through a dry season, they have not been spending time with the Word for a while. It's interesting how, you know, for me, it also sounds a bit crazy because I feel like, you know, Bible talks about the Word being like daily bread, being like food, for a spiritual food for your spiritual growth. And then we get to feel like, I'm so sick right now. Why is this like this? I'm so dry. I'm so sick. I'm like, have you been eating food? He goes like, no. I'm like, so why do you wonder you're thin? You know, it's quite, isn't it common sense? You don't eat, so you get fat. You get thin, right? You get sick if you don't eat well. That's the same thing. Listen, for you not to go to that place is that you have to make sure that your relationship with God is in the first place intact. Your quiet time is your relationship with God. It's you spending time with Him. I'm going to go there in a while. I'm going to talk about it. And here's what I want to tell. You know what it's going to lead to if that's not dealt with? If you feel dry, if you feel bad. It's just like that wilderness that you talk about. That wilderness, I don't have time to develop on that, but you can study it later on as well. That the wilderness was not a time when God wasn't speaking to people, but in fact, wilderness was a time when they could experience God constantly. The Israelites could have Him as the cloud and the fire, day and night. Jesus was in the wilderness and says angels were coming ministering to Him. It wasn't a time that God was silent. It was difficult, but not a time that God was silent. All right? And here's what happens. If you stay in wilderness too long because of your disobedience, like what happened to the Israelites, they start thinking about their Egypts. And they start reverting back to their situation of going back under that slavery to sin. That's somewhere you don't want to be. That's somewhere you don't want to go back. And you know what we call that? We call that backsliding. You know how to prevent backsliding? Be into the Word. Listen, if you're so into the Word, you have no time to get offended. You have no time to want to think about your Egypts anymore because you realize what God has provided for you. You know, I hope and pray that we will all go in that situation of being so into the Word, so wanting to grow up that we have no time to backslide. And this is true. I've been through situations when I felt like, man, I have to wait for God to do something. But I come to realize, you know what? I have to stop putting the pressure on God because He's done His job. It's my responsibility to grow up. Here's what I want to tell you. If I have a point to share with you from this part, is this one. Take ownership of your spiritual growth. Take ownership. It is your responsibility to open the Bible, to talk to God, to spend time with Him. You are going to grow that way. Let me give this disclaimer from this very point. You know, this is not a time of condemnation for us to want to think, oh man, I haven't been reading the Word today or the past week or whatsoever. This is not the point. You know, God is not counting the days you've been doing that. It's not a religious duty that you have to accomplish. I hope and pray we realize this is food that we need. This is not a requirement to accomplish. God has provided it for me and for you to grow. If you don't make use of that, we are the ones who are missing out things. All right, God is not condemning you at all, not even a single little bit. In fact, He loves you so much that He has let you be here to want all the more grow your passion and your desire and your hunger for the Word of God. I was reading through this verse in Psalm 19, verses 7, and it says here this way, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul." And in verse 8, it says, the parallel verse says, "The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." You see, whatever is right and perfect makes you get happy. If you're looking forward for revival, for that freshness, I'll tell you where you find it, in the Bible. If you're looking forward to go back to that first love that you feel like you've missed out, Your solution is go back to the Word. Your solution is go back to the Word. You know, whatever is perfect and right makes you happy. And when I was thinking about the word perfect, there means without blemish or blameless, all right? And if I was thinking of somebody without blemish, of course, I couldn't think of anybody aside from our very own John. How many of you are blessed with John's life? I see him around and I get so excited of seeing how this guy's life has changed people's lives. I know what is a great guy to us. You know, John is a great example. If I talk about Tom, I know there is another person that the moment Tom sees this picture, he gets all revived, okay? It's food for the soul. Whatever is right, perfect and good revives the soul. And this is the word of God. Perfect, right, without blemish. It revives your soul. It makes you happy. It feeds you. It brings you back to joy. All right, that's what the word has to do. In fact, it's interesting that Bible tries to describe itself in several ways. In Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, it says in this way. I said it revives the soul, right? So here's Isaiah saying this one. For as, this is God saying, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. This is what it's saying. It's comparing the word to rain and to snow. That is going to make the trees grow and sprout and be revived. Now I was thinking about this one. You know, rain, I understand. Rain lets the trees grow right away. Is that right? When it rains in the spring or in summer or something, when it rains in the spring, it lets the trees grow, all right? But how about snow? What's the point of snow? Snow comes, of course. Have you guys seen snow before? In your freezer, perfect. I've had the privilege of playing with snow almost every year in Iran. It does snow, it's a four-season country. And you know, when it snows in winter, the trees usually aren't yet growing. The trees are pretty dead. And it's really interesting that this snow still has a great effect to play in the tree's life. You know why? Because when the times go on and the spring comes and the weather gets warm, the snow starts to melt. And that water becomes the water that it needs for it to start growing. You know how this exemplifies about the Word of God? There are times that you open the Word and you're so excited and you need something from God and God talks to you right away. It's the rain coming to you, letting you receive what you need at that moment. And there are times that you read the Word, parang wala. Parang it's interesting, but it doesn't relate. It has like huge principles that you're learning from, but it doesn't relate to your situation right now. That's the snow. Wait. There is going to be a season in your life that you're going to need that. And I pray and hope that we'll be the kind of people who won't just wait for the tough times to want to read the Word, but we'll be willing to wait for that snow to melt. In the right time, it's going to be so necessary for you. It has happened to me several times when I read the Word and God teaches me something. A few weeks later, I get into a situation that I needed that exact thing. And I thank God that He taught me that. Otherwise, I would have messed up. His Word is like a rain. It's like a snow. It's always necessary. It's always necessary in every single season of our life. And not just that, not just the Word that helps us grow, but it's interesting that the Word of God is so perfectly made to teach us and prepare us for everything that we're going to go through. Like I said, the Word of God is made in such a way that it can equip us for everything. It's interesting, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says in this way, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable. Can you read it with me? For teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And the next verse reads, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. It means it prepares you for every single good work. How? The verse that we just read in previous verse, it says, it's good, it's profitable for teaching. What is teaching? It lets you know what is right. It teaches you what is the right way of doing things. And when you do it wrong, it's good for reproof. It helps you correct. It teaches you, exposes what is wrong. And it's good for correction. It corrects your direction and lets you realize how to do it right. And it's good for training in righteousness. It teaches you how to stay right. Listen, I need that. I need that every single day of my life. If I look forward for growing up, for maturing up in my relationships, in my spiritual walk, and every other area of my life, I need this. Listen, the Word of God is necessary for every single area of our life. And when I talk about that, I was researching about this yesterday and I got to realize that the Bible does have to offer a lot of real interesting truths, all right? An interesting principle that we can learn from. In fact, I have a couple of trivia for you. How many of you know about this one? When was the first time that the Bible does talk about medicine? You don't know about it. When God told Moses, bring 2 tablets of stone. Good try. Good try. I'll try it again. When was the first time that God gave him math homework? God said, go and multiply. Perfect. How long did Cain hate his brother? Until he was Abel. Perfect. For those of you who don't relate, Abel was the brother of Cain. Anyway, they said never explain a joke, no? Another one. Where is the evidence of technology, especially of car, in the New Testament? You don't know that too. Have you been reading the Bible? Jesus was a car painter. Did you know that one? Of course. This one. Who in the Bible had no earthly parents? That's right. Joshua, the son of Nun. Good try. Okay, that's enough. All right. I was thinking about this. It's great for preparing us for everything. Not just it gives us trivia, not just it teaches us things that we need to know. But here's the interesting thing. Every season of our life that we go through brings us new challenges, new things that we have to face. And here's what I want to tell you. The Word prepares you for that. If you're looking forward for walking in victory the way you should, your solution is the Word of God. Listen, life is full of troubles, problems, issues, concerns, temptations. And guess what is the thing that will prepare you for that? That's the Word of God. You know, for you to be able to face this situation, trust me, you need faith. Would you agree with me on that? We talked about it, dare to believe. We ought to be believing. We ought to be having that faith. And guess where faith comes from? Bible says faith comes from hearing and hearing the words of Christ. See, we ought to be hearing this word, and that's where our faith grows, that we can face situations. Do you realize that Jesus, when he was tempted himself, his only rebuttal all the time was, it is written? Could you imagine? This is Jesus being faced with all these troubles and temptations, and he's always, his rebutting statements, it is written. Because he would get to realize God has provided something about this situation. And if I bank on it and choose to believe it, I can overcome this problem, I can overcome this situation, this temptation, so on and so forth. Listen, God has provided you with everything that you need in his word. And if we don't get to read that, all I can say is sayang. It was already provided. God had already paid for it. Why not take advantage of that one? Is that right? This is an interesting thing that we can realize. In Psalm 19, verses 7 and 8, the second part that I didn't read reads this way. It says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And it says, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. It says, it makes wise the simple. Listen, more than information, me and you need wisdom. Would you agree with me on that? We need wisdom to deal with our lives. You know, I have a lot of personal experience to tell about this. If you've talked to me, if you felt like I know some stuff, I've come to realize it's not because of my genes. I've come to realize it's really been God teaching me along the way in increments. And I just so thankfully want to say, God, it was because of you. If I've learned something, if I've prevented issues in my life that I could have, I've dealt with them, I so thank you that you taught me how to deal with them. I've come to realize that the Word has a lot of a role to play in helping us deal with our situations and to give us the wisdom when we need it. I don't know if you know this guy. His name is A.W. Tozer. He's coming from a really poor background. He couldn't really afford his own education. And he really comes from a dark childhood. But it's really interesting how this guy ends up to be one of the 20th century's most prolific thinkers and philosophers. He writes things that boggles everybody else's minds. All right, he's a great person, and he comes to a worldwide fame, and his secret for that, according to him, was his private affair with the divine on a regular basis. He would make sure that he takes the time to want to meditate in God's word. In fact, what I want us to understand here is that, you see, if we are looking forward for success, for us to grow up, if we're looking forward to be prosperous, here's what God said. This might relate to some of you guys here. It says in Joshua 1:8, this is God giving an instruction to Joshua. Joshua was a guy who was supposed to be the successor of Moses. Really big shoes to want to fit in. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, all right? So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. See, it's telling if you're looking forward for your new adventure to be successful, you ought to be meditating on the word of God day and night. Do you know this applies to me and you? And when I say meditate on the word of God, some of you will think, oh man, I have work, I have school, this is again, I told you, it's not for me, Patrick, it's for the super saints. You have to be a pastor, a minister, full-time thing to want to do this one. No, it's applicable to all of us. You know how? The word meditate there is literally translated. It talks about chewing the cud. Are you guys familiar with what a cud is? I don't know if you know about chewing the cud, but have you ever seen cows? Cows eat really a lot. If you bring them out to graze a field, they take hours and they chew for like hours, a lot and a lot of grass, as much as they can. And they really eat for a long number of hours. And it's interesting, after the cows are done grazing the field, you bring them back home, and you will realize after a couple of hours, they all of a sudden start chewing again. And there's no food in where they are. You know what they're doing? I said it's going to be gross. They bring it back, and they chew it. And they swallow it again, and bring it back, chew it again. Up until they make sure they digested it properly. Yeah, and that's called regurgitating. You know, the word meditate means to regurgitate that one. You read something in the morning, and you can regurgitate for the rest of the day, and come back to it and think about it. How does this apply to my life? God, what do you want me to understand from? So speak to me from this one. You went to your school, you're doing your assignments, you're in your workplace, or you're doing the chores at your home. You can do that in the meantime. You can meditate on the word day and night. That's what we are supposed to do. And it says, when you keep meditating on it, you begin to change your mind to God's directions, and it's going to lead you to success and prosperity. See, God has provided a way for you, and that is that you have to be into the word, and you have to meditate on his word day and night. Is that good? You know, some of you guys need to know this. How many of your students here? Students in the house. This is a promise you have to claim. Look at this one. In Psalm 119, verse 99, it says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. How many of you want this? You go to your teacher, and your teacher tells something. I know that. Of course. Have you tried this before, to be more wise than your own teachers? You know, Bible promises that for us, that you can literally say, I already know that. That you can literally say you already understand it a lot faster and easier than other people do. Listen, God's word can really make you intelligent. Trust me. I believe it's the best way for you to become intelligent. If IQ is dependent on your environment, that's the best environment to be in. Because that's where you will grow intelligent. It'll make you even wiser than your teachers. The next verse says, I'm even wiser than the aged. People who've experienced for years, it seems like I know more than them. And he says, he tells people what is his secret. He says, for your testimonies are my meditation. Your word is my, that's what I think about the whole day. That's what I regurgitate. Instead of thinking about why my friend, why my crush doesn't look back at me, I rather think about what you do and what you have provided for me. Instead of growing insecure because I think about how unloved I am, I can think about what you have provided and how much you have loved me. You get what I mean? It's about where you're basing your foundations on. You know, it's really interesting as I'm ending. It's really interesting. In Psalm 19, verses 9 to 10, it says this way. It says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. That rhymed. Then it says, more to be desired are they than gold. All right? More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter than honey. You know what he's trying to say? He's saying that the word of God can be desired even more than gold. How many of you would reject the offer of a fine gold? I'm sure none of us would. And here is the Bible saying that we ought to be desiring it, craving for it, wanting it, even more than gold. Even more than riches, even more than prosperity. We want the word. I got reminded of the story of this group of Christians in China. China is a restricted nation where they can't really get hold of a Bible that easily. And some Bibles were smuggled in that place. And they got hold of this. And this is their reaction. You know, I wonder when was the last time that we dealt with the Bible in that way. We were just so thirsty to want to have it again. We were just so thirsty to want to read it. We were just so thirsty to want to receive from God. Now I want to balance this out in this way. You know, the Bible is more than just a collection of some stories, some poems, some letters, some interesting accounts of people. It's more than just a puts word on a paper. It's more than a mere print. It's more than a mere publication. In fact, the Gospel of John chapter 1 starts with this way. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh, talking about Jesus, and dwelt among us. Listen, the Word, more than everything else, the Word of God is a person, and that's Jesus Christ. Listen, here's what I want us to understand. God's intention from the very beginning was a relationship with me and with you. It was a relationship, not a set of religious things that we ought to do, but it was a relationship that we ought to develop. And to my knowledge, relationships need proper communication. That's only communication that can make a relationship thrive. It's just like a courtship season for a person. In courtship, a person wants to get to know the other party more. That's how reading your Bible is. You're trying to get to know God more. You're trying to spend, you're literally trying to spend time with God. Spending time with His Word is spending time with Him. You see, your love for the Lord is inevitably going to result to your love for the Word. As you spend time with God, you're going to grow more like Him. It's the process of a relationship. You spending time with the Word, you reading the Word, is actually literally you going on a date with God. You're just spending time with Him, wanting to know Him. I really hope and pray, as I'm balancing this out, I really hope and pray that this is not going to be a religious duty that we do that. Okay, I'm done with my religious checklist. The chapters for today, good. I hope we're not the kind of people who just look at this as, okay, this guy's reading the Bible, so he's religious. We do this for relationship's sake. God speaks to us through His Word. The Word is the voice of God communicating with me and you. It's us spending time together. I enjoy doing that. I enjoy doing that with the people I want to know. So I want to know God. I want to spend time with Him. It's not about the number of chapters I read. In fact, it doesn't even end with the number of chapters that I read. Because for the rest of the day, I'm going to talk to Him. For the rest of the day, I'm going to think and ponder about that one. I'm going to meditate on it. Because I want to know Him. That's it, period. It's about a relationship. I am not here trying to convince you to read your Bibles by telling you that if you don't, God's going to do this and do that. He's not going to like you whatsoever. No, listen, it's all about a relationship. He wants to know you and He wants you to know Him. Guess what? The part that's really going to benefit is going to be you of knowing God. And what I just talked about was the benefits that you will receive if you spend time with the Word. And my prayer is that we don't feel condemned in whatsoever way about us not having done this stuff, because it's not about that. It's really not about that. It's about me and you wanting to know God more. And that love for the Lord results to us all the more loving to spend time with Him. Listen, I'm really sure we can have time for what we want to have time for. You may say, I'm busy, but I'm sure you won't miss a date with a person you love so much. I'm sure we can put time for our quiet time, even more than we put time for our Facebook time. I believe we can spend time with God. If we love Him, if we want to know Him, this is the greatest way for you to grow spiritually. I am sure all of us here are excited. The very fact that we are here, we're all excited to want to grow in Christ. We're excited to grow in His likeness. And this is the way. Let's be into the Word. Let's read the Word.